Good evening, everyone. Thanks for coming tonight. Before we open by reading the Bible, we'll just have a quick prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for all you've done, for sending your Son to die on the cross for our sins, and for the whole world's sins. And we just ask for help tonight to give us guidance with what we say and to say it clearly, and to hopefully awaken someone to realize that eternity is forever, and that's where they have to make a decision where they want to be, whether it's heaven or hell. So we just ask for your help again. We just pray for each soul here and for their need of salvation. So we thank thee for all you've done. Amen. Can we open first a hope I can make this short and at least simple. So can we read first in Acts 16? Acts 16 and verse 30. 30 and 31 is what we'll read. Acts 16 and verse 30. And we'll read the last of the verse. And this is somebody that heard a lot of preaching, and he had one question. What must I do to be saved? That's a very last sentence in verse 30. Verse 31 is the answer. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. So if you obviously have read a little bit of the Bible, you know what happened to Adam and Eve. God created Adam and Eve. And obviously, since God created them, he had power over them, and he gave them a law not to eat of the fruit of the tree. And that's exactly what they did. They ate of the fruit of the tree. And they sinned against God. And what happened? They were separated from God. And because they were separated from God, there was a boundary where we couldn't go to where God is, and God can't go to where we are because of sin. And that is what the question he asked is, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be right with God? So he says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. I also was at a gospel meeting with Peter Ramsey, and I seen him do this once, and it's a pretty good explanation. And hopefully it's not going to turn into a Sunday school class, but still. You got God here and man here. And if I reach into my pocket, which hopefully they didn't fall out, we got a pair of scissors. So as man sinned against God in the Garden of Eden, they were separated. So God and man, obviously they can't be stuck back together again. So we will also read, I got a couple, you don't have to turn to this one, but 1 Timothy 2 and 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. So, Christ Jesus, if we also read in the New Testament, that is God's Son. And we can also read in the New Testament that God sent his Son from heaven into the world to die on the cross for our sins. So that brings us over to Matthew chapter 27. We read actually here this morning. Matthew 27, starting at verse 40. And this is what man did to God's Son when he came into this earth. So obviously God's Son knew that we were sinners, knew that we couldn't be connected to God because of our sin, knew that God couldn't be in our presence because of our sin. So God sent his only Son to take our flesh, just like our body, which is, I don't know about you, but for me, sometimes when I'm reading stuff, I kind of just think it's all made up. Well, obviously not the Bible, but you just kind of get used to hearing it. But you also got to realize that he was just as much flesh as I am right here. He had skin. I'm sure if he took the scissors, he could have stabbed himself and you could have felt it. He was just as much flesh as us. And this is what us humans did to him whenever he was on our earth. In the Bible, it says he was hated without a cause, and etc. But as they tried to falsely accuse him, we'll read at Matthew 27, starting at verse 40. And this is people as he was, I'll just kind of skim across it and summarize it, just because I'll end up blabbing on and taking over time. So as they were mocking him and trying to get him crucified, and saying, "Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." And likewise, also the chief priests mocking him, and with the scribes and elders saying, said, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God." And also we can read that the thieves joined in on the mocking. And we can just read where it says, where, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And where there was darkness. And we'll read, let me skim here. And he cried with a loud voice and yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth quaked, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened up, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the grave after his resurrection and went into the holy city, appeared unto many. Now there was a certain centurion, and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquakes, and those things that were done, and they feared greatly, saying, "Truly this was the Son of God." Now, obviously, if we can read before, just put yourself in this centurion's shoes. He's just literally got done mocking the Lord Jesus, probably joining in with the crowd saying, "Crucify him." We could read, if you read in Luke, it gives a lot of detail of what they actually did to the Lord Jesus. They whipped him till his back resembled a plowed field. So you could only imagine what that looks like. They beat him. They pulled his beard from his face. They spit on him. They took a crown of thorns. They beat it into his head with a stick. And also mocked him as if he was the king of the Jews along with that. And they also tore off his garments. They ripped it into pieces and basically had a bidding war over it. So it was all, I might be missing a few things, but basically just to summarize up, they did not treat him nice. They basically did their worst to him. But you also got to think, if you were in that that man's shoes, that's just going to be a tongue twister to say. So that man, the soldier, we'll call him, he probably would have watched him as the Lord Jesus took the beatings. He took the stick on the head and felt the crown dug into his brow. And yet there was no anger. Yet we can read also in Luke that while he was hanging on the cross, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And as a soldier, you'd think he'd be standing in the crowd, and he must have thought, this ain't normal. Like, yes, this is a very religious man, he was probably thinking, but if he was a human at all, he'd probably be fighting back, not wanting to get nailed upon the cross. But yet, you could just imagine him as he probably held each hand out to not even budge as they nailed the nails through his hands. But then, also, as to hear him give up the ghost, and as just before that, there was a darkness where you couldn't even see your hand in front of your face. And then as he gave up the ghost, the earth started shaking. The veil of the temple was rent in twain. Or the big piece of cloth from the temple was ripped in two. There was people raised from the dead. And you had to witness all this. That's the only thing you could think of was, this was definitely the Son of God. And who knows if he would have had any information. I'm sure he would have known what Jesus Christ what came into the earth for. I'm sure he would have heard the reasoning for people wanting him to be crucified. Because he said he was the King of Israel. He said he was going to die on the cross for our sins. And I don't know if it would have made sense to him at that time, but he definitely came to realization that this is the Son of God. But then that brings us to, don't know if I read it already, but actually we'll read that here in a minute. Oh no, we'll go over to Romans 10 and 9. Going back to the question asked, what must I do to be saved? So I already told you that God sent his only beloved Son into the world to die on the cross for our sins. And that centurion, the soldier, he realized how he treated him. He probably, yeah, again, you probably can't even imagine the fear that went through his head, thinking, I just put to death the person who created my body, his only son. I wonder what's going to happen to me. But yet, we can read in Romans 10 and 9 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confess, and is made unto salvation. For the scriptures saith, whosoever shall believe on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So this, I'm not sure if that soldier would have realized it right then or not, but even that soldier, even though he did the worst to God's Son, Jesus Christ, that's all he had to do. He just had to realize that even though I did the worst to him, he was on that cross for a reason. He obviously had sins too. And that's what bothered him so much, is because he knew it was wrong. That was a very just man that they knew had no fault found in him. But yet the crowd wanted him crucified anyway. And I don't know if I'm getting this scattered or not, or if I'm confusing you, but he probably had guilt whenever he realized that this was the Son of God. But for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we can also go back to our sticky note here. So we can take the part that says God. We can say this part here is his son. I should have labeled it. But since God sent his son to die on the cross for our sins, there's another verse in the Bible that says man can't be saved by their own works, whether that's good works, doing right, being nice, etc. It says the only thing that'll lead to is man boasting or bragging about himself. So that'll get you nowhere. But again, if you confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and he died on the cross for your sins, he is the mediator, which is what we can read in Philippians 2 and verse 10. I got them mixed up. No, that going back to, there's only one God and one mediator between God and man. That's what I meant to say. But if we still go to Philippians 2 and 10, you can make your decision up tonight, whether it's, no, I don't want God right now. I don't care that his only begotten son died on the cross for my sins. I don't care whether me and God have a relationship or not. That's fine. But in the end, if you die in your sins, you'll find yourself in hell. And after hell, you'll stand in front of a great white throne. And here is what is going to happen. Philippians 2 and verse 10. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow on things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The glory of God the Father. So regardless whether you want to praise him now and just believe in him, or whether you want to just push it off, at the end, you're going to be confessing and knowing for yourself that he died on the cross for my sins. And if you're in hell, that's more than likely all you'd be thinking about is, I didn't have to be here. That's why he sent his son. Or if you accept it now, you will never end up in hell. You will be with him for eternity. So I hope that didn't confuse anybody, and I hope I made sense, but I just tried to keep it simple, and that is why God sent his only son, and that's how simple it is, to just believe in your heart and accept that you're a sinner, but there's nothing you can do about your sins except just believe in Jesus Christ.